This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. Kind of. Hold off on that for a moment. I need to be honest about something now, and this is really for everybody who didn't listen to Friday's show, so you don't know what's coming. Maybe this is your first time ever hearing my voice, the sultry sounds of my voice, Chris. But let me explain something about how the show normally works instead, in case you're a first timer. Yes, we talk about the news of the day in a different way, kind of a 30,000-foot view. We examine the whys. Yes, we screw off a lot. We have a ton of fun. I play stupid sounds because they make me laugh. So I play stupid sounds. I play Kamala's voice because it makes me laugh. We even have machine guns built into the soundbar for me. That's real. We screw off a lot on the show. We have a ton of fun. We always will. But there are things I feel an obligation to do. Now, as you well know, if you listen to the show, you know I'm a bad person. I've never claimed otherwise. However, I do feel, having been given a radio show I have no business having and a big platform I have no business having, I do feel a responsibility. I feel a responsibility to the people of this country who have been forgotten and crapped on and attacked and left behind. I hate the people who lead this culture, and every now and then I feel the need to do a show different than a normal Jesse Kelly show, and that is going to be tonight's show. Yes, we are going to do Medal of Honor Monday 1 hour from now, like we always do, where we take a Medal of Honor citation and we read it and we celebrate our heroes. We're going to do that. Yes, I'm going to hit some various little, I've got little sound from Joe Biden and sound from Dome, and I've got sound. Yeah, I'm going to play some of that throughout the show. We'll take the time to mock the fact that we're now led by insane people.
To everyone celebrating Transgender Day of Visibility, I want you to know that your president sees you, Jill.
There's even a New York mob hitman story. And you know how much I love New York mob hitman stories. I will address that at some point in time. But tonight, it is going to be heavy. It is not going to be for everyone. If the show is too much, pause it, download the podcast, and come back later. I don't know if you should say this on the radio. I'm not looking forward to this show. There, every single day we come in, me and Chris and Michael, and we're excited and we're laughing. Why? Because we have fun. Because it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be fun for me and fun for you. We were going through the emails and the stories you put on my social media, and they're devastating. What were those emails? Well, you see, we were led by monsters now. Now, they don't know they're monsters. Keep that in mind. These people don't ever know they're monsters. Monsters generally don't. You know, Mao thought he was the good guy. So did Hitler. But we are led by monsters. People who are incapable of empathy. People who don't have any connection to the real world. They believe they should rule over you as kings and queens. And people who don't love the country. People who, once coronavirus got to our shores, they took about 5 minutes and analyzed it and said, oh, we can use this. Donald Trump's the president. Because the economy's doing so well, he's going to walk to re-election. We can destroy his economy and create tons of human misery if we just use this coronavirus to our advantage. And Those people did.
The CDC has been very clear, as you've indicated, that in fact, if things turned around and you have a rather substantial uptick in cases that is associated with an increase in hospitalizations, the CDC might turn around that recommendation and say, we've got to go back to indoor masks. I think there's going to be a lot of pushback on the part of the American public.
And people like this.
What about children who are between the ages of 0 and 12? And, you know, we have to treat them as unvaccinated. So, yes, those children still do have to wear a mask to protect themselves.
If the child, which obviously elementary school kids are not vaccinated, they should wear a mask. And I'd be almost guarantee that most of the schools are going to say you have to wear a mask.
Every student wear a mask. It's that simple.
What masks do is masks stop transmission. So universal masking is going to be very helpful to keep kids safe.
We are not doing enough. We have these.
Okay, you get the idea. So where am I going with this? What am I talking about? Tonight, I asked on Friday, I've asked on social media, I want your stories of the mental health problems that have entered your life because of lockdowns, the substance abuse problems that have entered your life because of lockdowns, the suicides that have entered your life because of lockdowns, because these people did these things for 2 years. And now I'm looking at headlines here from the Washington Post. A cry for help. CDC warns of a steep decline in teen mental health. And here's what I see right now. I see two things, and they both drive me crazy. I see the monsters who did this stuff now, after burning down the house, doing stories like the Washington Post. Whoa! This house is burnt down. How did that happen? We'll dig into it here. We're looking out for you. I see the monsters who did this now pointing out things like inflation and suicides and substance abuse and analyzing these things as if it's not a direct result of them. And that drives me crazy. And the second thing that drives me crazy is this. And we cannot allow ourselves to fall into this trap. I see this from people on the right. People who have been abused for 2 years. Or at least you know someone who was abused for 2 years, lost their life, lost their sanity, lost their son, lost their daughter, lost their mom, lost their business, lost it all. Abused, 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 abused by your government. And remember, abused by your government without reason. Don't you dare put that comforting balm on yourself by saying, well, they didn't know. They knew all along. Why do you think they were out partying it up with no masks day one? They always knew. Dr. Fauci is on video from years ago talking about natural immunity. Dr. Fauci was on video at the beginning of the pandemic saying, this is stupid. We're not going to mask everybody up. They always knew. They destroyed on purpose. And what I see from people on the right, and I understand it. I do understand it, but we have to fight against it. I see just wanting to be done with it all. Have you ever been in a fight like that? With your husband, with your wife, girlfriend, somebody? Getting a big old spat. I mean, the kind you got to send the kids out back for. You're yelling and screaming. You're saying things about her mother. Don't do that, fellas. But maybe you are. And then, at some point in time, you're just so tired of fighting. Instead of working out the issue, somebody just says, you know, let's just be done with it. That's the worst thing you can do. We on the right cannot be done with it. We cannot let it go. We cannot just, well, the most of the restrictions are being relieved. One, why are we celebrating most? You know, children in New York City, the age of 4, will still have masks on their faces. We're supposed to celebrate that? Well, at least it's only in some parts. No. We cannot fall into the trap of being relieved that most of the abuse is finally over. We must pursue a reckoning. There must be a reckoning. And I don't mean resignations. I don't mean people getting fired. I don't mean people being forced to publicly apologize. There must be people placed in handcuffs and put on trial on television in front of the American people. And I mean public officials, government people, politicians, people at the CDC. It is time for people to go on trial and go away for the rest of their natural lives. And maybe, just maybe, you're sitting there saying, Jesse, I don't understand why you're so mad. Hey, I'm just glad to be done with all of it. Hey, man, let's just let it go. I just want to move on. I just want to live my life. I just want to forget about the last 2 years. Maybe that's what you're saying right now. If that's what you're saying right now, allow me to pause you for just one moment. Just one moment. I'm not going to argue with you. If that's what you're saying right now, I want you to stick around for the next 3 hours. Because starting next, I'm not going to read you my rants. I'm going to read you the stories of real people and what has been done to them for the last 2 years. Not something that happened, something that was done to them. Done by people. People with names. People who have to pay. If you're not in my mood yet, you will be when I'm done with this show tonight. That's coming on the Jesse Kelly Show. And before we get into that, there's something else I despise out there. Scammers. This has been a time, especially over the last 2 years, where people have taken advantage of people. They have, well, ripped people off. And timeshare companies, not all of them, but many of them, they're as guilty of this as anyone else. If you're stuck in a timeshare and you can't get out, you have annual fees, you have special assessments, all these things are going up, and you've tried to get out and you can't, there's a company that will help you. They will get you out. Lone Star Transfer has a 99% success rate, A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. This is a family company. 16,000 people have gotten out because of Lone Star Transfer. They guarantee the release of all liability to your timeshare in writing and in a specific time frame. Guarantee. Give them a call. No obligation consultation. It's free. 844-310-2646. The consultation is free. Or online at LoneStarTransfer.com. Get back. Get out of those things.
Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
If you don't, I'm not afraid of you.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. And again, it's a different night on The Jesse Kelly Show. We still have Medal of Honor Monday coming up 45 minutes from now. You know I'm going to hit the story about a New York mob hitman. That's right up my alley. You know we're going to make fun of Joe Biden.
I'm deeply proud of the work she's doing as First Lady with Joining Forces Initiative. She started with Michelle Obama when she was Vice President and now carries on.
Gosh. We're going to do all that. But tonight is a show dedicated to you and your stories. And what I asked was if you had a story of mental health, substance abuse, suicide that has touched your life or your family's life because of COVID lockdowns, I wanted your story and I would read your stories on the air. And some of these are long, but this is going to be the night we have. We are going to listen. It is going to hurt me to read them as much as it is going to hurt you to hear them. I would argue it is necessary because we have to remember what they did. If we're going to motivate people to demand a reckoning, we're going to need to remember what they did. Let's begin. Hey, Jesse. Thank you so much for doing this upcoming mental health show. Yeah, lockdowns and the entire COVID response did a number on me. I was actually recovering from a friendship breakdown in 2019 and was starting to grow my friends list again by going to, I'm not going to read that, with my youngest son. I'm just protecting her identity. Remember, I never read your identity on the show unless you say. I'm very protective about that. I'm the last private person on the planet. He said we were 1 week from spring break in 2020 and all of us moms were going to meet at a park to socialize and have kids and play together. The COVID hysteria started and I never heard from them again. Everything shut down. I was thrust into having to homeschool, which I had no idea how to do. The day usually ended with my second grader in tears and me feeling like I'm a POS and failing everyone in my life. Hold on. Let's pause one moment before I continue with this. If you're a parent right now and you homeschooled against your will for the last 2 years and you ended some or most of those days feeling like a jerk and a bad parent and an idiot and your child crying or angry or whatnot, stop beating yourself up. You didn't sign up to become a parent, and parents aren't perfect. Stop beating yourself up. Continuing on. But my kids' school is a private Christian conservative school, and they've been committed to staying open for in-person learning since the fall of 2020. They're awesome, and we're thankful for them every day. I lived inside a vodka bottle for the better part of 2020. Thank God my husband has the sense to, if need be, wrestle me into bed. I'm an incredibly angry drunk. I am down to wine now, but it's hard to stop because I started having panic attacks in 2020, and I'm having a hard time getting out of bed each day. My head is a miserable place to be sober. I've also cut myself. And even though I don't anymore, I have a scar on my left forearm, and I have to wear a Band-Aid out in public if I don't want people to think I'm a freak. My sons, they're 10 and 6, see me struggling, and I hate it. I don't want them to have to struggle through life. I don't want them to have mental health issues like I do. Dang, it really hurts to type this, but people need to know. My mom's former coworker also committed suicide because he couldn't get any mental help. His 12-year-old daughter found him. I do volunteer at my son's school in the preschool room. I just about cried when they came up to me last Wednesday and said, "Mrs. Blank, you look so pretty today. The school knows how much I need that position, and I love the kiddos and teachers so much. Please don't say my name due to the contents of this email, but believe me when I say you are speaking for so many of us that feel ignored, alone, and like freaks. Thank you, Jesse. My radio is tuned into your station every night." Listen, I don't know who said this, but it's a great saying, and I'm going to say this a lot tonight. Because there is a lot of everything, mental health problems, suicides, sadly, substance abuse problems. And I don't know who said this. I wish I could give him credit. I wish I did. I wish I knew. But there is a saying out there that says, hey, don't quit today. Just quit tomorrow. And then you wake up tomorrow and you say, I'm going to quit tomorrow. He said, if you quit tomorrow, never today, you'll never quit. If you're going through this, things like this where you feel like a bad parent, a bad wife, a bad husband, a bad this, a bad worker, maybe you're struggling with things. Struggling is the human experience. It is not unique to you. Just because you don't struggle with the same things everyone else struggles with doesn't mean you're somehow a worse person. Keep on struggling. When you stop struggling, that's when there's the problem. Keep on struggling, all right? Keep on climbing. And I told you this is going to be a different show tonight. It is something I feel obligated to do, okay? And if you feel the need to walk away from it tonight, we're going to be back to our regularly scheduled programming tomorrow. And I know you're not supposed to say that, but screw that. It's my radio show, and I'll say anything I want. These stories need to be told. They have to be heard. These people deserve to be heard, and the people who did this to these people must pay. My daughter, 13, went from a bright, bubbly young girl to depressed, suicidal, and self-harming, and even changed her gender at school without me knowing. Thankfully, I found an amazing mental health facility that helped bring her back. Otherwise, I don't know where we would be today. Travel industry, furloughed for 6 months, drank every day and spiraled into a bad place. Took 13 months to find another line of work. I must have killed myself 100 times in my head like a rehearsal for the real thing. Barely made it back to sanity. You keep walking, brother. You hear me? And you email the show if you're ever hurting. All right, we'll get you lined up with something. Please discuss how people are being refused basic medical care. Still in hospitals, killing thousands. Here in Missouri, they did this to my husband. Knowing what they're doing, it's criminal. Oh, we're going to keep reading these stories. There's story after story after story tonight. My only sorrow with this night is We only have 3 hours, and I have a lot more than 3 hours of some of the most gut-wrenching stuff you've ever heard. It is important to hear together, mourn together, be angry together, know that we are together, that other people share your struggles, and that is tonight on The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a different night here on the Jesse Kelly Show. Tonight is the night where I read your stories of how lockdowns abused your mental health, threw you into substance abuse, caused suicides in your life. Yes, I'm obviously going to get to the New York mob hitman story because you know I love those. Yes, we're obviously, look, it's still the Jesse Kelly Show. We have to take a minute and make fun of Dome.
But kind of surprised others. He said that Vladimir Putin should no longer be the leader of Russia. Do you agree?
Listen, I think that you framed the point quite accurately and well. Which is America's policy has been and will continue to be focused on the real issue at hand, which is one, the needs of the Ukrainian people, which we will continue to support through humanitarian assistance, through security assistance, but also ensuring.
I just want to let you know, this goes on for another minute and 30 seconds, and you're going to sit there and listen to all of it, just like I had to.
That there's going to be serious consequence for Vladimir Putin and Russian aggression as it relates to Ukraine, which is why our policy from the beginning has been about ensuring that there are going to be real costs.
I'm sorry, I lied. I can't go on. It's 2 minutes of that gobbledygook. Yes, we're going to take some time for that. But we are going to take the time tonight to tell your stories. We're going to take the time tonight to tell the stories that resulted from what these people did to you.
What about children who are between the ages of 0 and 12? And, you know, we have to treat them as unvaccinated. So, yes, those children still do have to wear a mask to protect themselves.
If the child, which obviously elementary school kids are not vaccinated, they should wear a mask. And I'd be almost guarantee that most of the schools are going to say you have.
Yeah, back to your stories. Hello, Jesse. First, let me thank you for your service. Well, you don't have to thank me, brother. My father was a leatherneck, served in Saipan and Tinian. Good grief. He was a Marine at Saipan and Tinian. That man had to be harder than a coffin nail. He says he was a bare-knuckle fighter with no real who had no real family. His first experience of family was the Corps. He was the toughest crybaby I have ever known. When it came to his family, alligator tears. When it came to criminals, it says he was an LAPD homicide detective for 30 years. He was a living hell. Can you imagine what a stud that freaking guy was? Marine and Saipan and Tinian, and then LAPD homicide cop. Gosh, what a stud. I followed in his footsteps and bested him by 1 year. How about that? Gosh, that's freaking cool. I am now retired and hating it. And he said, not. Anyway, back. He says, so the reason I'm writing you is that I was listening tonight and you wanted Rona lockdown stories. I had an absolute blow this week regarding the insane insanity or the inane insanity that we the people allowed to transpire. My friend Charlie was a restaurant entrepreneur who I had known for 30 plus years. He owned a pizza place that saved my skin when I was working crazy boot officer hours. Just a heads up, boot officer means a new, like a rookie cop, a young cop. We called our young guys in the Marines boots. That's just a normal thing for someone new. And when he says working crazy boot officer hours, look, it sucks being the new guy. You work all the crappy shifts all the seasoned veterans don't want to work. And when the guy says he had a pizza place that saved my skin, You'll notice cops sometimes out and about gathered in a restaurant. One, that's the restaurant you eat at because cops know where to eat. If you see a restaurant that has a bunch of cop cars in there, not only is it a safe restaurant, it's a restaurant with good food. Two, it's a way for them to decompress when they're out there. And so if you have some crappy shift in LA as a rookie cop and the guy opens up his restaurant to you to come in, probably give you a free slice of pizza and treat you like gold, you would look at that place like a second home, right? That's how it works. I just want to make sure you I know we have a lot of cops who listen and a lot of people would just get that anyway, but I wanted to make sure everyone understood who Charlie was and what Charlie did for this guy. It says later, he opened a wonderful restaurant near my home here in Hermosa Beach. Charlie came from New York and brought some of his grandmother's wonderful Italian dishes. Charlie busted his butt creating his business and was universally acclaimed. He was personable and really made the dining experience a pleasure. The grub was the bomb. So I had not seen Charlie since before the scandemic. Last week, I took my 93-year-old neighbor, who I take care of, to the dentist. The dentist office was about 20 paces from Charlie's New York food joint. I decided to drop in while I waited for the dentist to stop torturing my neighbor and catch up with Charlie. I stepped into his restaurant and immediately realized that it had drastically changed. I went to the bar and asked if Charlie was around. The bartender then informed me that Charlie had passed away. I was shocked and I asked if Rona had gotten him. He replied that he had died from something else. When I returned to the dentist office, I asked Dr. I don't want to say his name, what happened to Charlie? I'm sure you can guess the rest. They closed Charlie down for the scandemic. Charlie made a valiant try to keep his head above water with the takeout gig, but eventually lost his pride and joy. Charlie went into a deep, dark depression and climbed into a bottle. We can multiply this story 1,000 times. I want someone to pay. After having been LAPD for 31 years, my sense of justice demands that someone be held accountable for the malfeasance and improper use of authority. I mourn for Charlie, and I hope that he has found peace. Keep up the fight. Hopefully we can rally those who love this great country and cause some permanent change. Rest in peace, Charlie. Jesse came out of a 2-year relationship that fell apart when COVID hit. Moved to Buffalo to get away from it and be closer to family. Fell into severe drinking and taking pills due to depression. Got up to my heaviest of 230 pounds. Really didn't want life anymore. Jesse, I started drinking too much because there was nothing to do for too much. Drinking 5 to 10 beers a day. Work from home doesn't help. Now trying to scale it back. Keep trying, my brother. Keep trying. If you fail today, try again tomorrow. Wife was forced to get vaxxed to keep her job of 20 years. Had miscarriages and myocarditis since. Healthy woman, under 40, virtually no risk. Kids all went from healthy to overweight. Still trying to work it off. God have mercy. Jesse, my daughter feels hopeless. She is a, I can't say that, it's a New York school. She is a blank student who cannot tolerate masks. She has panic attacks. I know people like this. Her doctor will not give an exemption. She cannot go to school, get a job, or medical care. No end to the vaccine and testing mandates in New York. She tells me daily she doesn't want to live. She just wants her life back. Hochul is a monster. We are going to spend the entire 3 hours telling these stories. These stories have to be told. And we have to remember that these things didn't happen. These things were done. They were done by people. People who have names and people who have to pay.
The CDC has been very clear, as you've indicated, that in fact, if things turn around and you have a rather substantial uptick in cases that is associated with an increase in hospitalizations, the CDC might turn around that recommendation and say, we've got to go back to indoor masks. I think there's going to be a lot of pushback on the part of the American public in doing that, although it would be the prudent thing to do.
Why is that person still doing media interviews? Forget about resignation. Forget about firing. Why is that person doing media interviews instead of sitting behind bars waiting for his public trial to begin, where these stories that I'm reading will be read aloud to him in front of the jury, so the jury can then decide exactly what should be done to one of the people most responsible for this level of government abuse. I'm not near done. This is going to be the entire show tonight. These stories. Now, let's talk about Eden Pure, because that actually makes me happy. Got yet another email. Jesse got the Eden Pure. Was not sure about it because it's so small. I've been trying to tell you they are small. When I say air purifier, I know you probably picture the big towers, and that's what I picture because that's what I've always had. The Eden Pure, it's got to be like 6 inches by 8 inches. It's not very big. It plugs into the wall. You hardly know it's there. Said I wasn't sure because it was so small. I've never had anything like this in my life. I'm telling you, these things are incredible. They call it the thunderstorm because it does in your home what nature does after a thunderstorm, how it cleans the air. The odors in your home are gone. Gone. The guy told me his wife cooked fish in the home and the Eden Pure took it away. Go to EdenPureDeals.com because they have a 3-pack available for my listeners. EdenPureDeals.com. The code is Jesse3. That gets you $200 off a 3-pack. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse3.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, Medal of Honor Monday. And let me check my watch. Yep, that's coming up about 10 minutes from now. In case you're a new listener to the show, every Monday we read a Medal of Honor citation. It's just that simple. Same time, every show on Monday, we read a citation and honor the heroes who have done so much for this country. We actually hold up good people in this culture instead of all the filth we have. Remember, you can email the show. Your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for Fridays. Those are always fun. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. You miss any part of this show, maybe because this is such a heavy show tonight, maybe you want to pause and restart it. That's fine. The whole show's available on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. And remember this. I want you to remember, these people who did this to us, they're not sorry. Remember, these people think they're the good guys. They genuinely do. They looked at coronavirus. As we read all these stories tonight about the abuse, the mental health problems, the substance abuse problem, the suicides, this is Yuval Noah, I believe you say is how you say his last name. He's a doctor with the World Economic Forum. I want you to listen as we talk about these suicides and terrible things people have gone through. I want you to listen to how the elites viewed coronavirus.
You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, they have this soul or spirit and they have free will and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will. That's over. Free will, that's over. Today, we have the technology to hack human beings on a massive scale. Yeah, I mean, everything is being digitalized. Everything is being monitored. In this time of crisis, you have to follow science. It's often said that you should never allow a good crisis to go to waste because a crisis is an opportunity to also do good reforms that in normal times people will never agree to. But in a crisis, you see, we have no chance. So let's do it.
People could look back in 100 years and identify the coronavirus epidemic as the moment when a new regime of surveillance took over, especially surveillance under the skin, which I think is maybe the most important development of the 21st century, is this ability to hack human beings, to go under the skin, collect biometric data, analyze it, and understand people better than they understand themselves. This, I believe, is maybe the most important event of the 21st century.
Sounds busted up over it, doesn't it? Hey, it's just, we're just going under your skin. We're just going to hack human beings. That's how they view it. Here's how it worked out for you. Jay Steele, I ended a 25-year career as a firefighter slash paramedic in January 2021. For the first 24 years of my career, I would respond to a teen suicide once every year or two. Between April of 2020 and the time I retired, I responded to five of them. That's not even mentioning the older suicides and overdoses that I saw, which also increased dramatically. I got to the point where I was afraid to let my two teen sons out of my sight and would regularly drink myself into oblivion so I could sleep at night. My family saw the toll my career was taking on my mental health and urged me to retire to save what's left of my soul. Thankfully, I was old enough and had enough time to do it. There's lots of guys still doing it that aren't so lucky. I get together with them from time to time over a beer, and to a man, they tell me how lucky I am. They're hurting. Thanks for letting us vent. He says I can use his name. His name is Chris. Chris, and you and all the fellas at the firehouses out there, keep on marching, all right? Keep on marching. Dearest Jesse, my daughter's mental health took a serious turn for the worse when she could no longer find solace she got from school. This resulted in a very real and almost deadly suicide attempt. After heartbreaking hospital and in-house treatment facilities where we could not see our daughter for weeks, it nearly drove me and my husband insane. The very second we could have her released, we did. If we could have visited her, we might have made a different decision, but we pulled her out too early out of fear. Days later, she made another attempt, reopening her barely healed wound from the first time. This time, after the emergency room, we turned to God and church. We are lucky because she's getting better. Sadly, the reminder will always be with us until we figure out a way to fix or disguise the horrible scar on her arm. I have attached the picture just so you can see what we look at every day. I wish I could show every person who voted for Biden. I cannot describe the feelings of hopelessness, terror, and rage the reckless decisions of this administration has cost. Out of the privacy of my daughter, I will ask you to withhold our name for now. Obviously, yes, now and always. I remember, I never read your name unless you specifically tell me to read your name. Listen, your baby girl has a scar on her arm. That is going to be something in the end. I know that seems crazy right now, but I'm telling you, I've seen this stuff before. I've seen this from people I've known who've attempted suicide and people who've, one of my buddies he had a horrible drinking problem, got in a DUI, got a horrible car wreck, almost killed himself and his girlfriend, and had a huge scar across his face, and he was so ashamed of it. Those scars end up being things in the end that you're proud of, because it ends up being a turning point in your life and in a way for you to tell other people how you turned your life around. I know that seems impossible now. And yes, I see it. I know. In the end, all things work for good, right? In the end, all things work for good. That actually reminds me, speaking of veteran buddies of mine who are all busted up, if you're wanting to give back at this point in time, I'm going to keep bringing this up because they do such wonderful things. Allow me to mention Tunnel to Towers to you again. They have officially broke ground on something called the Do Good Village. Please look this up. 110 homes for Gold Star widows and their children. They're building an entire community in Lando Lakes, Florida for just widows and orphans. Tell me that isn't the most blessed thing you've ever heard in your life. Kids who lost their mom, lost their father, coming together as a community, playing in the pool. All they ask from you is $11 a month. Go to t2t.org and give $11 a month. You'll never even know it's gone. Just put it on one of those renewal things. You know how hard I am on charities and how much I blast all these scam, scumbag charities out there. Go look it up. Don't take my word. This is not one of them. Tunnel to Towers, when you give, it goes where you want it to go. Go to t2t.org, all right? Back to these stories. I'm day drinking whiskey to deal with the PTSD from when cops pointed rifle at me during my armed COVID protest. They threw me into a hospital where psychs tried for 5 days to get me to take mind melt pills. I'm not the crazy one. Those shelter-in-place laws were anti-American. My son's Asperger's. He wasn't doing great and had one semester of college left when the shutdown hit. He couldn't finish online. It messed up his routine. We tried another semester, but it was still online, and he needs that social interaction. Now he has no degree and is struggling. And I'll tell you what, look, we're going to get to Medal of Honor Monday next, and I'm going to keep telling these stories. But these special needs parents, man, you want to talk about people who have suffered worse than anyone else has. What these people have gone through, it is freaking not right. Two more hours. We're telling the stories. Hang on.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.